And he was taking me back to the hotel room, and I was sharing with him today what a joy it is to be here. I was in North Carolina last week. I was in Louisiana the week before that. And next week I'll be in Virginia, and I'll be in Tennessee, in Bristol, the end of the week. And in the middle of all of that, I'll be home every Thursday and every Sunday. And sometimes it gets exhausting, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally. And I appreciate you making it easy on me this week. And I don't know if you understand that all together, but you've ministered to me, and I appreciate that so much. I do thank you for having me. Thank you, Brother Robbie. And I do want to rejoice in what God is doing in Lake Park. Aren't you thankful that God is building a church here at Calvary? Amen. And I appreciate that. I'll ask the folks in the PA, give me all you got. I got to do this tomorrow night. And I will have Sunday. I won't be preaching. We've got a guest preacher, but I'll be back at it next week. 1 Samuel chapter 1, but you already knew that. Stand up with me, and we're going to read a couple of verses tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll read one verse that we read last night, and we'll read a verse that we have not yet read, and we'll read them together. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 19. If you're there in your Bible, say amen. Amen. And they rose up in the morning early. Now some of y'all would have got out right there. Can I get a witness? But they rose up early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. Thank God, isn't this a wonderful promise from last night? And the Lord remembered her. And wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Father, thank you again tonight for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your Spirit. God, thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. I pray now that unction would help us to function. God, may we preach not in the power of the flesh, not in the might of our own understanding, but through the power of God, may your word go forth tonight. God, say what I cannot say, do what I certainly cannot do, and God, change us. And I'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. We began Sunday night, and we got to look at Hannah as she was burdened. Is there anybody tonight that knows anything about carrying a heavy burden? We then walked with Hannah, and we saw her deal with her bitterness. Does anybody understand what it's like to have some things in you that you've got to pour out of you? And last night we took a wonderful journey, and we saw Hannah as she operated in boldness. And I hope that somebody today entered boldly into the throne room of grace. And I hope that you stood on the word boldly today. I've enjoyed seeing Hannah and her burden. It has helped me to see Hannah and her bitterness, because I have been in those waters myself. It is encouraging to find that we too can have boldness. But I want to say thank God that her story comes full circle. And we find in chapter 1 in verse 20 that Hannah is also a lady that has been blessed by God. And tonight I want to talk about Hannah and her blessing. Now I'm going to need somebody to help me right here. We do know what it's like to be under a burden. And we do know what it's like to go through bitterness. But thank God, is there anybody that knows that through it all we have been blessed? I was sitting on the front row And it was almost like whoever picked out the choir songs had been sneaking through my Bible earlier today. And it has been a long journey, Hannah, but we have been blessed. And it was hard, but thank God we are stronger for it. And I'm rejoicing tonight that Hannah leads us to a place where we find and we recognize the blessing of God in our life. Now I want to look at Hannah and her blessing. And I want to give you three thoughts tonight. And I believe that somewhere in this, you will recognize yourself. If you're taking notes, write this down somewhere. I see, first of all, that Hannah was blessed. And let me make this statement, and then I'll explain it. But I see that her blessing got buried with trouble. Her blessing was buried with trouble. Now, I'm going to need a big amen, and I'm not going to stop till I get one, so you might as well go ahead and wake up and help me. Hannah was blessed long before she ever had Samuel. Well, that was okay, but not at all what I was looking for, all right? She was blessed long before she ever had Samuel. Samuel was a blessing. But before Samuel was ever born, Hannah was living in the blessing of God. I think sometimes that we fail to see how good God really is because we are so focused on what He has not done that we fail to praise Him for what He has done. Could be somebody tonight did not worship during the singing because you're looking at what you're asking God for. But I want to encourage you, just stop right now and praise Him for what He's already done. Amen. Hannah, I understand that you want a child, but before we get all upset about that, let's look at what God has already proven faithful in our life. I want you to notice a couple of things. I want you to notice that Hannah here in our text, she is blessed, now watch, simply because of who she is. Do you know what the name Hannah means? I was sitting in a restaurant, a fine eating establishment, Waffle House. Are there any rednecks in the building? I'd been studying Hannah, and I was sitting in the Waffle House with my son, one night, we'd been out coon hunting and we'd stopped at Waffle House. And I'd been reading and studying on Hannah that day. Our waitress, her name was Hannah. She came to the table, I said, "How are you?" She said, "Terrible, thanks for asking." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Just having a tough time." I said, "Well," I said, "I like your name." I said, "Do you know what your name means?" She said, "No, I really don't." And I told her what the biblical definition of Hannah is. The name Hannah, glory, we ain't even got started. I already feel good tonight. The name Hannah means favored of the Lord. And I told that little waitress that night, I said, "You are favored by God. It is your name." And I would say to Hannah in our text, no, you may not have a baby boy in your arms. No, maybe God hasn't answered every prayer, but you are blessed just because of who you are. Do you realize tonight that if we are saved by the grace of God, if we are born again by the power of God, we may not have everything we want, but glory to God, we're favored simply because of who we are. I need somebody to help me shout tonight, "I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed." Thank God I'm blessed because I'm saved and I'm on my way to glory. I may have trouble, but He'll be in the trouble with me. I may have difficulty, but my worst day as a Christian is better than my best day when I was lost and dying and going to hell. And so Hannah, You are blessed just because of who you are. You are favored by God. Her name means blessed, and it literally is who she is. She's not only blessed because of who she is, but she is blessed, and I love this, because God, well, glory, God has given her a consolation blessing. Now, how many of you grew up watching The Price is Right? Now, I'm a Bob Barker fan. Can I get an amen right there? I ain't sure about that new fella. I ain't really bought into all of that. But I like growing up, love to watch The Price is Right. And I remember at the end of every show, they would say, contestants not appearing in the showcase showdown received a consolation prize. You know what a consolation prize is? It's what you get when you didn't get what you thought you was going to get. I'm going to say that again. A consolation is what you get when you didn't get what you thought you was going to get. And you know what I've learned, Brother Robbie? I've learned that this Christian life is full of consolation prizes. I thought God was going to do that, but instead, God gave me this. I thought God was going to take me there, but He didn't want me there yet. So He took me here, and y'all ain't hearing me, until it was time to go there. I want you to look at something. I'm not just making this up. This is in your Bible. Look in verse number 5 of chapter 1. Well, look in verse 4. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters, say that word out loud, portions. Look at verse 5. But unto Hannah, he gave a what? Worthy portion. Now, I'm going to, is all right? I said this last night. I'm going to say it again. Is it okay if I mess you up as long as I fix you back when I'm done? Probably tonight, and I'm not going to put you on the spot, but probably tonight, some of you have got a study Bible, a reference Bible. And if you look over there in the middle of your reference Bible, it'll have a number by that word worthy. And in the middle, it'll have a corresponding number. And it will say to you that that word worthy means double portion. Now don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. I ain't putting you on the spot. But a lot of reference Bibles will say worthy means double. There's just one problem. Worthy doesn't mean double. Doesn't mean it in the English. Doesn't mean it in the Hebrew. Worthy does not mean double. Now, what does it mean? If you look up the word worthy in your Strong's Concordance and you find the word that is used in verse 5 and you search it out, you'll find that it literally means angry. Now, that don't make a lot of sense, does it? When I saw that, I said, how in the world does that fit? But unto Hannah, he gave an angry portion. Well, I've given some stuff and I was mad about it before. Can I get a witness? But that's not. He gave unto Hannah an angry portion. What does that mean? Now, let me just say something right here. The Bible don't have any mistakes in it. And this wasn't the wrong usage of a word. If God said He gave her an angry portion, then that's what He did. And I need to know what that means. And I began to study, and I figured out why it was an angry portion. Hallelujah. Because when Elkanah gave it to Hannah, he wasn't angry at Hannah. He was angry at Peninnah. He had seen how Peninnah treated Hannah. He had watched as Peninnah had ridiculed Hannah.
He had observed as Peninnah rubbed it in her face that she had all these babies, but Hannah didn't have any. And so they go down to the church, and Elkanah said to Peninnah, here's what you need. Here's just enough for you. Here's just enough for your children. But Hannah, come here. I'm going to give you something that's a whole lot more than what you need. And I'm going to give it to you because I've seen how she's treated you. And Hannah, I'm going to be good to you because she has been bad to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't sit there and look so surprised. Because God has a habit of being good to others that some folks are bad to. God's got a way of, well, hallelujah. He's got a way of making up for when others do us wrong. He's got a way of settling the score. He's got a track record of doing for me right when others have done me wrong. I thought in the Old Testament about Abraham's handmaid Hagar. Sarah had been given a promise by God to have a baby. And she laughed. And she said, Abraham, I'm too old. I can't do that. She said, but take my handmaid, Hagar. And Abraham took her handmaid, had a baby with that handmaid. And then God answered his promise. How many of you know he's pretty good at being God? So now Sarah has a baby and the handmaid has a baby, and Sarah gets mad and said, get that child and get him out of my face, get him out of my life, and send him to the wilderness to die. And Hagar hadn't done anything but what she was asked to do. And the people that asked her to do it threw her out when they was done using her. And they left her to die. But I've come to tell somebody tonight, when others do you wrong, get ready for a blessing, because God's going to do you right. So Hannah receives a portion that is given out of Elkanah's love for her. She's blessed long before she ever has this baby. I'm going to need an amen right here. If God had never answered her prayer, Hannah would have still been blessed. Even her husband said to her, am not I better to you than 10 sons? Hannah, I'm giving you everything you could ever need. She was blessed, even if God never answered her prayer. Can we be honest tonight? How many of us are blessed? If God never answered another prayer, we've already been blessed enough. Oh, I need some help. If God never did another thing for us, we're already blessed more than we deserve. But just like Hannah, we lose sight of our blessing. And just like Hannah, we get so focused on what is wrong that we overlook what is right. Now, it's amazing to me, y'all just let me be transparent for a minute. It's amazing to me that Hannah didn't see her blessing. Because Hannah's a woman, and women see everything. Did you hear about the old man was in the mall with his wife and got turned around? She was shopping and he lost track of her. Walked up to this gorgeous young lady. I'm talking about knocked down, drag out, gorgeous. He said, ma'am, he said, do you mind standing here and talking to me for just a minute? She said, well, I sure do. What's wrong? She thought maybe this old man was confused or just lonely. She said, what's wrong? He said, well, I came in here with my wife. And he said, I can't find her. He said, but every time I talk to a beautiful woman, she appears out of nowhere. Could you just stand here for a second? Some of y'all scared to laugh. Women see everything. Y'all just might as well say amen. Amen. And matter of fact, sometimes they see stuff that didn't even happen. Can I get a witness? Yeah, it's the last night. I gassed up my truck on the way in. Amen. I have to fly sometimes, and I'll be flying next week, and sometimes I don't like to fly. It's a hassle, and the main reason it's a hassle is because of the TSA, our travel security. And if you think that we're any safer now than we were 10 or 15 years ago, you've absolutely lost your mind. I was in Atlanta just a couple of weeks ago. I checked in. I was there 2 hours early. I checked in. I came around the corner. There was no one in line in the security line. It was 5 o'clock in the morning on a Monday morning. I came around there, nobody in line. I thought, glory to God, I'm going to get right through and get on the plane. They opened a door over here on the side, and there was a rowing competition. A collegiate rowing competition in Atlanta. And 500 college students came in that side door and just whoop, right in line in front of me. I stood there till my plane took off. My plane had landed before I even got through security. And if you've ever gone through TSA, you'll watch them. And I know I'm not like a security expert, but when they've got 90-year-old women up against the wall and they're patting them down and frisking them, I really don't think that's our major point of concern. You know what I'm saying? X-raying strollers. And so I've thought about this. I could save the American taxpayers billions of dollars. I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars. I would get rid of all the TSA. I would get rid of all the X-ray machines. I'd get rid of all the bomb-sniffing dogs. You don't need any security in the airport. You know what you need? One woman with a bad attitude. Because she's going to stand by the door, and she's going to look at everybody coming through there. And she's going to know who's trouble. Ladies, I need a witness right there. That one. What's wrong? I just don't like her. That one. Check her out. Don't like him. I just don't like him. Y'all know I'm preaching tonight. One woman with an attitude could keep us safer than all the TSA. Because they don't miss anything. But Hannah missed her blessing. And she was so focused on what she did not have that she failed to recognize what she did have. I wonder how many of us are fixated on those that we have lost. Oh, I'm preaching whether you know it or not. But we have failed to embrace those that are left. We look at what others have and want it. But we fail to look at what we have and appreciate it. And I say to you tonight, keep on praying. Keep on believing. But if God never answered another prayer, we're still blessed. But you got to recognize it. She was blessed, and her blessing was buried with trouble. Number two, write this down somewhere. Not only is her blessing buried with trouble, but her blessing, I like this, it gets bigger with time. Now, I want to show you some Bible. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse number 23 and 24, we won't read it, but Hannah says, I'm not going back to church until I have weaned Samuel. And when I go back, I'll leave him at the house of God. I'll fulfill my vow. And so she does. And then the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse number 18, look at it. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother, watch, made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. Do you see what's happened here? She has brought Samuel as a toddler to the house of God. Now let me just clarify, don't bring your toddlers and leave them at the house of God. Say amen, yeah. Brother Rob. This ain't an orphanage. I need a witness right there. But that's what she does. She brings this toddler. He is just weaned from her milk. And she leaves him at the house of God. And she comes to see him once a year. And every time she comes to see him, she brings him a coat that's just a little bigger than the coat that he had last year. How many of you grew up poor like I did? And my mom and daddy never bought me nothing for right now. They bought me stuff for a year from now. Some of y'all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. You didn't buy clothes for, you bought clothes because you're going to grow and in 8 months it's going to fit you. But in the meantime, I look like I'm borrowing stuff from daddy. Can I get a witness right there? And that's what she does. Every year she brings him a coat that is made for him to grow into. And you know what is happening? Her blessing is getting bigger with time. I'll make this statement tonight. If you was to start reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and there was no title to the book, the name of the book was not there, and you didn't know what it was, but you just started reading this piece of literature in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. For the first half of the first two chapters, you would think that this should be named the Book of Hannah. Because it's all about Hannah. It's about Hannah's burden. It's about Hannah's bitterness. It's about Hannah's boldness. It's about Hannah's, glory to God, it's about Hannah's blessing. But little by little, we see less of Hannah and we see more of Samuel. And eventually in time, Hannah fades completely from the pages of the Bible. And Samuel gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Hannah's name is contained to two chapters. She's named in 11 verses, but this blessing that God gave her, he has two books of the Bible named after him. He is mentioned in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. He appears in Psalms. He is referenced in Jeremiah, Acts, and Hebrews. And now the woman that sought the blessing has faded into obscurity, and the blessing has gotten bigger than she ever dreamed of being. Can I say to you tonight, oh listen, God does not bless us to make us a big deal. Well, we'll try that over here. I said, God don't bless us to make us a big deal. He blesses us because he's a big deal. And if your blessing makes you bigger, it may not be a blessing at all. But the real blessing of God does not bloviate us. It does not puff us up. If anything, we'll be like John the Baptist said, that I must decrease. But thank God, he must increase. Do you see that tonight? Samuel gets bigger every year, and Hannah gets smaller. And ladies and gentlemen, if the blessing of God really sits on our life, we'll not get bigger, but the blessing of God will get all the glory and will fade into obscurity. I'm going to need some help right here. I'll speak for Greater Life where I'm pastor. I hope that the greatest days of Greater Life, I hope that I never see them. I hope that I'm not there. Now, I hope we have some good days, but I hope I'm not there. I hope 40 years from now, when my name's nothing more than just a footnote in the church records, I hope that sinners are walking the aisle and getting saved. I hope that families are being helped. And I don't need them to stand around and talk about, oh, Brother Jonathan. What they need to talk about is the fresh power and the presence of God. Because if it's really God, it's not going to make a big deal out of us. But his blessing will live on long after we're dead and gone. Little church I'm at, I told you some about it over the years. We started with three people. And I told you last night we bought some land and God let us build a building. We built a beautiful little church house, just gorgeous. And my son, when we first built that building, was just 4 or 5 years old. And I was so proud, Brother Robbie. I was so proud of what God did there, giving us that beautiful building. We were going in before even the first service. And he and I was up there one day, and I got out my key and I was unlocking the front door, and I looked down at my little boy and I said, "Son, I said, you think you'll ever pastor this church one day?" You know, proud dad moment. I said, "You think you'll ever pastor this church one day?" 4 years old. He said, "Lord, no." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'll pastor one a lot bigger than this." And I say, hallelujah. God help us to understand that the real blessing of God does not make us a big deal. It reminds us that He is a big deal. Her blessing was buried with trouble. Her blessing got bigger with time. But I want you to notice, lastly, I want you to notice that her blessing got better with trust. How many of you remember what Hannah prayed? And she said, "Lord, give me a man child. I want one boy. And Lord, if you'll give him to me, I'll give him back." Now, Hannah prayed something else. And I'm going to need a witness right here. Be careful what you pray, because the Lord does remember. Notice what she says in verse 18, chapter 1. Look at it. Chapter 1, verse 18. If you're there, holler amen. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find what? Grace in thy sight." Now, let's stop and deal with this handmaid business. Do you know what a handmaid is? A handmaid is a servant that simply stands and waits on the master, whatever they may need. As a matter of fact, a good handmaid does not need direction, for they've learned the moves and the ways of their master to the point that before they even need it, the handmaid knows to go and get it. And Hannah said, "I'm just a servant. I am a nobody. And the greatest position I could ever have in life is, Lord, just to do for you whatever you need done." And 5 times she says, "I'm a handmaid." Now the book of James says that the Lord gives grace unto the humble. Hannah 5 times has humbled herself as a handmaid. Then in verse 18, she says, "Lord, give me grace." And God gives her one son, one baby boy. How many of you remember, if you've got children, you remember that firstborn child? Man, it's so special. You're so scared. I remember when Dalton was born and me and Miss Amy was at the hospital and she had him. And you know, that firstborn, you make sure that everybody washes their hands. You make sure that everybody sanitizes before they touch the baby. But in about 7, 8 months or 2 or 3 children, you make sure they wash their hands after they touch that nasty little joker. You might want to clean up on your way out. When you first have them, you won't even let Nanny and Paw watch them, because they don't really know how to take care of one anymore. But after a year or 2 or 3 more, you'll drop them off with the Walmart greeter. We'll be back in a minute. You know how hard this had to be? To take her firstborn, and soon as he's weaned, to take him down there and give him to God and say, "Lord, I'm going to pay up on my promise. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to do what I said about what you said. Here he is, Lord." Now somebody say, "I got some I'd like to give to Jesus." Yeah, but they're 25. That's a little different. We're talking about toddlers, okay? Brother Robbie going to come to church tomorrow. There's going to be a pile of youngins out there. Take my Samuel, preacher. Take him and use him. A toddler. She brings him and she leaves him. And watch now. She trusts God with her heart. She trusts God with her blessing. She trusts God for what she's always wanted. And may I say this tonight? I don't care if you holler amen or not. What I'm about to tell you is life-changing truth. God may not trust you with a blessing because God knows that you won't trust Him with your blessing. I'm going to say that again just so you'll hear it. God may not trust you with a blessing because God knows that you won't trust Him with your blessing. All right, Brother Rob, let's just talk. Me and you, let them do the checkbook, plan vacation. Have you ever seen people come to church and don't have two dimes to rub together? And they say, preacher, I need a job. I need a promotion. I need a raise. I need God to bless. We're not making it. We need the help of God. They get faithful and God blesses them and they get a job and they get a promotion and they get a better paycheck and in about 6 weeks you can't find them because now their blessing has taken them out of the house of God. Now they've got lake money. Now they've got beach money. Now they've got shopping money. Now they've got travel ball money and they're no longer in church because God trusted them with a blessing, but they didn't trust God with their blessing. All right. Well, now I'll come talk to y'all. You know how many young families have sat at Greater Life Baptist Church and said, like Hannah, Lord, give us a baby. And I've anointed them with oil, and our church prayed for them, and years of infertility. And through the anointing oil of James and through the prayer of the church, watch God cause them to conceive when they never could before, and they have this baby. And then when that child is born, they fail to even raise that child in the church that prayed it into existence. We can't bring them. We don't want them to get sick. And then that turns into, we can't bring them. They're too young to act right in church. And that turns into, we can't bring them because we don't trust the nursery. And then it turns into, we can't bring them because they got school. And before long, you have taken, God help us tonight. You've taken the very blessing of God that God trusted you with. And you don't trust God with it? You mean to tell me that God gave you something and now you're scared to give it back to the one that gave it to you? But Hannah brings her blessing. And she said, Lord, it's going to tear my heart out. And Lord, I'm going to lay in His room and I'm going to cuddle with His quilts and I'm going to cry for the next 10 years. But Lord, here he is. She leaves him with Eli. And I don't know if you was paying attention Monday night or not, but Eli, he wasn't real good at raising boys in the first place. But she gives him to God. Can you imagine that walk home from church that year? That little hand not holding hers. Getting to the house, that little room sitting empty. But she gave God what God had given her. And she said, Lord, I'm just a handmaid. I'm a nobody. I'm a servant. And Lord, you blessed me. So I'm giving you back my blessing. I want you to go to chapter 2 and verse 21. I may tear something up here in just a second. And the Lord visited Hannah. So that she conceived and bare, count them now, 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Amen. Now look at me. Samuel has been dropped off previous to verse number 21. This is not Samuel and 4 more. This is Samuel and 5 more that God gave Hannah. Do you know what the number five represents in your Bible? It is the number, well, glory. It is the number of grace. So we can safely say that Hannah took the one blessing that she had and she gave it back to God. And God said, all right, Hannah, since you trust me, I'm going to trust you. And here's grace to replace what you've given me. Oh, I got news for you tonight. It may be hard to give God your blessing. It may be hard to let go of the only thing you think you're ever going to have. But listen to me. He's a good God. He's a righteous God. He's a loving God. And when you give to Him, He'll give you grace in exchange. Five, the number of grace. She asked for grace. She acted gracious, and God gave her grace. She's got five more kids in addition to little Samuel. Y'all see that tonight? Now, I'm done. Let me say this. She's got five toddlers, five toe-headed, stair-step youngins. Five. She'd qualify for a reality show in today's society. Five toddlers just stacked up one right after the other. Now, I'm going to need some honest folk to help me close out this revival. If you've got five toddlers, your house does not look like it was just lifted from the pages of Southern Living magazine. Matter of fact, if you've got one, but Dalton, I'm going to need an amen right here. If you've got one, you better look in the shower before you get in. Have you ever stepped on a Lego with cold feet at 6 a.m? Here she is, not with one, but five little babies. And that house, I think it'd be safe to say, that house is highly visible of who lives there. Diapers done been changed, but not thrown away. Sitting on the end table. Sippy cups that the contents have become so solid, they cannot be sipped at this point. Stains on the furniture that's been there. You don't know if it even came that way or did the kids do that. I don't even remember anymore. Oh, bless God, y'all don't look at me like you've got it all together. Oh, no, don't look at me like you've got this parenting thing. Half of y'all in here, if you slammed on your brakes, there'd be enough chicken nuggets slide out from underneath the seat. You could feed this whole outfit tonight. Vintage French fries. I feel conviction in the house of God. Now here's what I'm trying to say. When you've got a house with five toddlers in it, you can't look anywhere in that house without seeing evidence of them being there. Five is the number of grace. And everywhere Hannah looked in her house, she saw the signs of grace in her house. Every room was filled with grace. The yard was filled with grace. Everywhere she looked was the sign that when you give God what you love, He'll give you grace in return. How many of you can look around your life tonight and say, preacher, oh my, God has been good to me. I've had to give Him some things I didn't want to, but He gave me grace in return. And preacher, everywhere I go in my life, I see His favor. Everywhere I go in my house, I see His kindness. And thank God, His blessings
They always get better when we trust them. Now, oh, I ain't leaving them up here with every head bowed and every eye closed. Oh, no. Why do you think they don't leave the offering up here? No. So stand up with every head bowed and every eye closed. Can you come find a place around this altar and say, Lord, if you never answered another prayer, you've already blessed me. Lord, I'm hurt at the one I had to bury. But Lord, thank you for those that put their arm around me and helped me cry. How about it? Do you trust Him tonight? Do you trust Him? Some of you, God's give you a job that you would have never dreamed that you have what you have right now. But are you trusting Him with what He's trusted you with? You obey God tonight. Many more need to come. Many more need to come. Brother Robbie, I love your church. I love you, man. Help them tonight. Bless you, buddy. Amen.
Won't you come on and find a place around the altar? Last night of revival. Come on and find a place around the altar. Thank the Lord for what He's done for you. Come love on Him for a little bit. Don't get in no hurry. You ain't got nowhere to be. If you lose 15 minutes of sleep tonight, it ain't gonna kill you. Come grab hold of Him by the feet and tell Him how much you love Him. You did tonight. God, I need it tonight, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for your message tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for your man tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for your people tonight. God, we don't deserve a thing. But Lord, you've shown grace. Lord, many times we've been on the altar and prayed and asked for grace. God, you've shown grace. God, you've loved on us when we were unlovable. Lord, you've done for us in spite of us. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, it's almost cliche. We say it in church all the time, but you've been far better to us than we've been to you. And Lord, we ought to be good to you. Lord, we fail in being good to you. Lord, forgive us for taking your blessings for granted. Forgive us for misusing your blessings. Forgive us for misappropriating your blessings. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that we leave out of here. Lord, having said it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, but more so, Lord, having said, I'm going to do better with my blessings. I'm going to trust you with my blessings. Lord, I'm thankful. Your blessings get bigger and bigger and bigger. God, help us to be mindful. In Jesus' name.